Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 20. Realize this has been read for the candle lighting, so I'll just read it in a different version. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
It's hard to believe that we are a week away from Christmas, right? Where did the whole year go? You know, time that goes by really, really fast. So a couple years ago, my family and I, we were down in Brazil. I remember it was Christmas Eve and I was driving around and I saw a man pulling a big cart. You know, and on that cart, he was collecting cardboards and poppy cans and, you know, all these materials that at the end of the day he could sell to make ends meet, you know, like to make some money. And in a good day, he could make about $10, maybe $15 max, right? Which would for sure help him and his family. And that's a very common thing to see down in Brazil. There's lots of people that they do that for a living. And they would walk an average of 15 kilometers a day, you know, to hopefully, as I said, at the end of the day to make some money. And I was watching this man, I was driving my car, I was watching this very short man who was crimping, you know, like having difficulties to walk and pulling that huge cart behind him. So, and I noticed as well that people were stopping by and giving him gifts, right? Quite a few people were stopping by just trying to help because it's Christmas. It was Christmas Eve, right? And I felt compelled to stop and help him as well. The situation wasn't good at all, but I stopped by and I gave him some help as well. So, I had a great feeling. I'm sure that at the end of the day, that man was happy. That was a win, right? He would have collected on the day way more than he would normally do. So, and if you do a research during Christmas time, people think that it's all about being good, feeling good and happy, giving to others, helping those in need, feed the hungry. But now, for us the question, is that what Christmas is all about? Lots of people know that Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ, even for those who do not believe in him. But why would the world still celebrate his birthday today, a baby who was born and died almost 2,000 years ago? There are no Christmas lights, no Christmas trees, no Christmas spirit, no Christmas at all. Jesus Christ's birth was the fulfillment of God's plan to bring to earth the promised Redeemer and Savior, as we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a well-known verse. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It is possible, of course, that God could have chosen and accomplished another method to bring redemption and salvation to us. But it is difficult to think in a more appropriate method for the incarnation than the virginal conception. To be the Redeemer of humankind, Jesus must identify himself with us and at the same time transcend the human race. Thus, he was fittingly begotten of the Holy Spirit and was born of a woman. As we saw there in chapter 2, on verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and as was expecting a child. So it's interesting how Luke, the writer of the gospel here, ties the earthly and the heavenly nature and missions of Jesus closely together, while continuing his theme of God using earth's lowest to do God's highest, and heaven's angels join earth's shepherds to announce the birth of the one who would change history for Jews and Gentiles alike. After the little baby was born, Mary wrapped the baby in strip of cloth and placed him in a manger. As we saw, there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus' first crib had usually served as a dining table for animals, where the animals had eaten. Now the little babe slept. Why? Again, as I said, all normal lodging places were full. The only available space for the child was the animal trough. The promised king came to his people, but did not have enough power to secure a resting place for his birth. The descendants of David descended to a stable to find a place to lay the head of the King of Kings. This is how God used earth's lowest to bring salvation from heaven's highest. It was his purpose to do that. And one amazing thing that happened is that the king was looking, or the emperor was looking to kill the baby Jesus, right? And even with a full army, they couldn't get closer to that baby, because that was the way that God decided to do in a location where people wouldn't think that it was even possible to give birth to a baby. So the scene quickly shifts from the king laying where animals eat to burly men protecting animals in their natural homes. Shepherding had changed from a family business, as in King David's time, to a despised occupation. Many shepherds were accused of robbery and using land they had no right to. Shepherding was also a lonely occupation, particularly at night, as a shepherd stood his watch, making sure sleeping sheep did not wake up and wander, and that prowling predators did not attack to destroy them and kill them. Only God would visit those in such a low occupation and raise them to witness to his salvation. Yet, shepherds had a tender side, counting the sheep constantly, lifting the weak on their shoulders and creating cradle pens where the animals could sleep and feel safe. Again, Luke shifts the spotlight once more from earth's lowly shepherds to heaven's most glorious messenger. With the angel came God's glory, his shining majesty, the side of God humans can see and to which they can respond in confession, worship, and praise. God's glorious angel terrified the shepherds, but he brought them quick reassurance. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. The good news elicits joy, not fear. Joy is the inward feeling of happiness and contentment that bursts forth into rejoicing and praise. Joy comes not just to lowly shepherds or isolated parents far from their home. Joy comes to all people. In the most unlikely place, amid the most unlikely spectators, between them some animals, God burst aside the world's fears and provided the world reason for joy, as we can refer it from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3. Joy centers not in something you earn or possess. Joy comes from God's gift, a tiny baby in a fed trough. How beautiful that image is. That angelic presence does not last long. As fast as the angel appeared, he was gone. Shepherds got the message. Now, what do they do? Their immediate response was, verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They wanted to be part of the work God was doing. As they got there, they saw God's work in the face of a baby laying in a poor manger. From verses 17 to 20, seeing the baby Jesus was not enough for them. They had to share their story, the story that they just experienced. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed and at what the shepherds said to them. Everyone they met heard from them about angelic visits, angelic songs of praise, and a trip to a stable to find the baby of God's glory. So, they were excited. They had found in a manger the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Himself. They let everyone in hearing distance know about the good news. Remember, they didn't have TV by that time. They didn't have internet or texting. The word was just, you know, the word of mouth was just the way that they would proclaim. So they let everyone in hearing distance know about the good news. Their Savior was born, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Can you feel their joy and excitement? What audacity that God would use society's lowest occupation and its most meager resources to begin His awesome work of salvation, His kingdom on earth. It blows our minds, right? The shepherds became Jesus' first evangelists. Surprised and astonishment greeted the first testimonies about Jesus Christ. The surprise soon gave way to wonder and marvel at what God had done. Everyone in that little town of Bethlehem began talking about God's mysterious surprise, a surprise made known firsthand only to a couple from Nazareth and unappreciated shepherds carrying out their lonely nighttime tasks. Again, the shepherds saw what God told them to expect. They proclaimed their findings to all who would listen. They turned back toward their jobs with a new song of praise in their heart. What God had said, God had done. Amen? They returned to the sheep, never to be heard again, but also never to be forgotten. That story was worthy to tell everyone. Again, this time of the year, as I said at the beginning, people are more generous. I've heard comments on the radio that this season is all about giving back to society, giving back to help others, because that's what compassion does. That's what love does. That's what this time is all about. This time of the year is all about. That's the Christmas spirit. Loving people by giving back, by helping others. When we do that, when we join them on this, it does feel good. Doesn't it? Yes. It feels good to make someone happy, to give people a hot meal, to help them somehow, because when we do that, we are being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ here on this earth, right? We are doing what He told us to do. So, but that's it. If everybody is happy, we are all good. People are being good, they're sharing, and by doing their part, they help to bring again that Christmas spirit. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound good to us? Yes, it does. Is that what Christmas is all about? I'm afraid not, you know. And some people may say, oh, I didn't know that the Grinch was preaching today. Right? But if we stop there, we are missing big time. And you guys know why. These are good reasons to help others, but we stop there. We miss the whole point. We miss the main point of this season. It is good to give, again, absolutely. So, and when we do that, we as Christians, we need to keep in mind that the ways that we help people may open doors. Doors to do what? To share the Christmas story, to share what Christ, why Christ came to this world. So we must make the most of every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because everything else we give people is temporary. Every way that we help them here is temporary. But the gospel is a gift for eternity. Right? That it'll never rotten. It'll never go bad. No, it'll remain for eternity. So if you and I can give and help people with their immediate needs, why cannot we give them the most precious gift they would ever get? We don't have a reason to not do that, right? We should. Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to people. Through Him, God offers to all people real and everlasting hope, peace, and joy. Real and everlasting love that no one can find anywhere else. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is a message from people of all nations. That's the real Christmas story. The reason why Jesus came to this world is the love of God explained in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, which should be a well-known verse, but here it goes. For God so loved the world that He gave His own and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. The true meaning of Christmas is the celebration of this incredible act of God's love. The love of God is all-inclusive. It has always been like that. His offer for redemption and salvation is available to absolutely everyone. The Bible tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Christmas is all about God's gift to people through Jesus Christ, our King, our Redeemer, our Savior. It's an old, old story that we still need to proclaim. That's why we still need to keep talking about it. We will never get tired to talk about Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. And that's the only story that will make a real difference in people's lives. I want to finish with this thought and this question for you here. Those shepherds, they got the message firsthand. And they responded. Right? So, God's giving you and me the same message today. So what is our response? How are we going to proceed with the Christmas story to make Jesus known to everyone in this earth? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for the most precious gift we could ever get, and that is in Jesus Christ, Lord. The salvation and redemption, Father God, the restoration from a life full of sin, a life that was separated from you, Lord. And through Jesus Christ, we gained access, Lord, to your presence. We can come to you, Father God. We can bring our needs to you, Father. We can bring our joy, our happiness to you as well. We can praise your name and thank you, Lord, for this amazing, beautiful gift that one day we understood and we opened our hearts for it. So, Father God, we pray, Lord, that as a church, one body, one church family, Father God, that we will continue to proclaim, Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ's birth, the good news of Jesus Christ's kingdom and message, Father, of salvation, until Jesus Christ comes back. So, Father God, help us to do that and remain faithful to you, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for this year. And we praise your name, Lord, for what you have done and for what you'll be doing, Lord, through the life of CTC here, Father God. We thank you and we rejoice with you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.